let it commence with special committee meeting of the Maryland Libertarian Party. There were copies of the minutes from the last two meetings that are in the back that need to be approved. One of the meetings was at the picnic last year in August, and the other meeting was at the Robert Blazer's right before Thanksgiving. Now, it's a special meeting for nominations for office for Susan Vasconaga and Doug McNeil. If anybody wishes to, who's not familiar with the minutes, wishes to read them, I'll please grab a copy now. Robert, are you on the back ledge?
Where is it?
Oh,
he said it was
in
the back.
I know. No, there's like a minute.
Is it up?
Yeah. It should be a copy for the newsletter. We'll take a couple minutes to read those. Is there anybody who is not finished reading the minutes who wishes to? Does anybody have any corrections or adjustments to the previous minutes to either of the meetings, whether it be the special election for the candidates for governor or at the August meeting at the picnic at State Fair? Hearing no objections, then the minutes are still approved. Okay, reports of officers. We will start with the Credentials Committee. Party Secretary Robert Blazer.
I guess I should read the names of the people I've checked off. I have a name on the Central Committee, Jean Ahmad, Roberto, Bill Bazell, Richard Davis, Wayne Dougherty, Lorenzo Vasconaga, Susan Vasconaga, myself, Bob Johnson, Ron King, Sear, Lancaster, Mike Linder, Tom Smather, Doug McNeil, Darlene Nicholas, John Olson, Scott Spencer, David Spen, and Steve Boone. Did I miss anybody?
comment is left.
The Credentials Committee, which consists of myself, Dave, and Bill Wiesel, validates that 17 Central Committee members are in attendance plus one proxy, and we have 34 Central Committee members.
Is there anybody who wants to be a Central Committee member who is not? Okay, very good. Well, Mr. Glazer, do you have anything else you want to add as Secretary?
Not at this time.
Okay, very good. Treasurer's report, Mr. Linder.
Everyone, I think he passes on the back of the agenda in case you have time by now. Starting from the date of August 22nd, we had the, it was a picnic in the fall. I don't want to repeat it, but basically, it gets you to the income. Click and Pledge is our credit card system. I'll say a little more about that since it's changing a bit, but that's the income we had, basically $3,960 from August 22nd. And there are the expenses. I don't know if anybody has any things jumps out. The bills to pay were bills that, because there's no, I couldn't get to being at Kevin Roberts' house, but I did pay it tonight, so they have been paid, but they have not gone through the bank account. Because you see the bank account, Bank of America balance of their general fund, says that today, well, yesterday, $3,724, and while that cut one from it. In our federal account balance, we have started the decision, our executive committee, or I say executive committee, we have started to put, as we have enough money in general to take state membership dues and put it into our federal account, which we use to basically do things like the radio ad to support our federal candidates. And to have federal reporting, which are the House of Representatives. This year we don't have him. So that'll be money we can spend on. But it has to come out of another account, so the general account money. So that's why it's being segregated. And also we have another account for administrative money, which is doing that. That is, just to let you know, you can have a referral cycle. Anybody can give $4,000 maximum. But if you give to an administrative account, you can basically have unlimited amount of money you can give. But that thing for offices, copy paper, electricity, salaries, which apparently you don't have. But you know, it also valid access money paid for it. So, but we're not having that, so we're not have very little there. And as you can see, we have a lot of income up there, but not always received. So I put in there, Click and Pledge balance still is, the amount of money is still at Click and Pledge. But many of you process your, lately we've had state memberships in for the convention, so I just put it through Click and Pledge, but I haven't received yet. Click and Pledge basically sends a check to us the first of the month. They have a cutoff date 15 days before that, and send whatever amount is owed over $75, so the next check is going to be a very nice check to come in. But mainly this is used by the amount of money it takes for the convention. We talk about around 140 monthly pledges, so or if I don't know, the pledge, people pledge a monthly contribution. So that's totally extremely high for this time. Now, I did forget to probably put them in bills to pay the members of it. So, to Bob, the Bob put in the escort of the Libertarian Party that here buy 10 cents each. It's car bumper stickers. We ordered 1,000. We have not apparently received the bill, but Tom West will send the money in. So we owe $100 for those bumper stickers, and that will have to come out of the federal account. So that is one bill that we have to pay. anybody have any questions? Yes, Bob.
Did you cut a check for Squires? Or did you pay them already?
No, Squires is
no, but I'm saying, have you paid them yet?
No, that'll be, yeah.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
I'm just saying, Bill said, I knew we had, but I had not paid. It was unexpensive. And the rate comes up to most people. Every year we've been paying, or at least the last 5 or 6, insurance bill for around $1,800 to cover the case we, military party can be sued if we're on the outreach of it. We made a decision at the spend level saying, hey, you know, keep first pay $100 each event, it's becoming some umbrella policy of the organization sponsoring. So we've done that and we've dropped the $1,800 coverage that basically probably wasn't provided in, so that saved us a nice chunk of change in there. And so we probably did the right thing for the committee. And,
we were the only party that was doing it.
Yeah, apparently so, from the state party. The other thing is, Click and Pledge, for those of you who process it with credit card, know, have gone on and seen that they've got a newer site. Well, they now sent me a notice. You normally get charged 4.5% of the amount that's being billed, and they also charge a processing fee of approximately $2.50. Effective April 1st, they have wanted to raise the rate to 8%. So there's another way out, and they also send you a check, a physical check, and mail to you. Now they also have what they call a merchant account, which I'm trying to make sure I'm understanding correctly on it. They're going to keep a 4.5% charge, and they're going to electronically send you the money within 48 hours, is what they're telling you. So, if I want to make sure they're not somehow, that even they charge me a $5 per month fee, it may not be too bad. But usually, if you have money that they will send you electronically, an electronic file transfer to your account, they usually charge you so much per month to have that option. But the way I read Click and Pledge, they weren't really having that. The abuse was very phenomenal. That it may be worth cost savings, and then means any money, say, if the monthly donors were charged, you know, say on the 30th, we'd get them in 2 days, and it would take, you know, another month. Yes,
would it be easier, perhaps, to use an or cheaper, perhaps, to use PayPal or something like that this month?
I don't know. You know, PayPal has a volume form or anything like that.
No, they don't. I've got PayPal.
No, I guess I have to look at PayPal.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I just meant to discuss with you individually versus the whole central committee. But I just opened up a PayPal merchant account. They charge 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. You get ACH for free. I just didn't know if there was any legal requirements as far as the political party was concerned. I wanted to run that by you, but I don't think there really need to
No, I just don't know. I haven't checked PayPal. I'm probably going to do that to see which one's cheaper. I don't know if Click and Pledge was, you know, things have been changing, you know, their when their amount of check they send in, how much they, you know, the minimum required for the righteous check, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah, well, the past, none of that was PayPal. I just didn't know if it was legal for you to do it.
Well, I guess I could check out PayPal, too, so just, I don't know if there's a new requirement, you mean, by the State Board of Elections that would have anything other than, merchant account and transfer you, you know. They try to charge a credit card, and they just automatically put it into the account, so the state board lets them. They changed the credit card rules about 2 years ago, so that they not with kind of the used credit cards and not be check or cash on, so it's probably not a good problem anymore. So I didn't know PayPal was that cheap. Check that out.
Michael, I was looking for a line item under expense or bills to pay for money owed by the state party to the accounting department.
Yeah, here, $5 or whatever. I need to figure it out. Give me one today.
I thought that would be a good idea.
Get rid of them later.
$200. How much do you want?
Does Jamie County find the authority left?
Yes.
No. Yes, they are.
Hey, that's a question.
I move that we accept it.
Okay. Any objections to accepting the treasurer's report?
As modified.
As modified?
It'll be the next report to pay all of it.
No, but you also added the $100 to the bumpers, they got $100 to the bumpers.
Well, that's still pay, but that's
actually, so does the money due to the restaurant.
Well, but see what I, this is, I mean, all I do is bill pay. If I know it and we have a, here's your bill pay, I haven't got a bill from Spire Pay. So I don't know what it is.
If, for example, I'm working as the treasurer for Susan and Doug's campaign, and the due date, you have to report everything to a week before that to do that, just to cover that.
So. The problem, just in terms of good accounting, is that you have included the money that's come in against
you. It doesn't work.
It's like you fight.
The same thing with federal account, I didn't, have to see a bill on that West Allen.
Okay. Any other concerns, questions for the treasurer's report? Very good. The report is passed without objection. All right, the chair's report. Currently, right now, we have 91 members as of the end of February. This is much better than it was a year ago, where it was at 61. I've been very aggressive, but we're still a ways behind. One of my goals as chair has been to get back to the triple digits. I've been very aggressive in getting people to join. I've also been going back. I went through all the non-renewees from 2009 and contacted them, and have also started to go back to the non-renewees from 2008 to try to get them to renew. And some of them were just forgot, such as old members like Jay Baker or whatever. So I'm going to continue to do that. We have almost 8,000 registered libertarians in the state. We basically have a little over $5,000 in cash, maybe less than that after we kick back in the bill for Squires. But one of the things we want to do is start sending out a copy to the newsletter in bulk of 500 or 1,000 to registered libertarians. In particular, start out with Baltimore City. Since Doug and Susan's campaign is basically centered in the city or whatever, and start working our way out, we can send these out at 56 cents a copy. So we can send out 1,000 copies for $560 and, see how, what kind of response we get. We've almost caught up to the Green Party in membership, where I think about last time I checked, about 293 behind. And hopefully by running a lot of candidates, we can surpass them and register voters, and then we'll be the number three party in Maryland. I've had two speaking engagements. In December, I spoke to the local Campaign for Liberty, and last month I spoke to the fans of the Ron Smith Show at the High Cost in Modium. I'm happy to speak if somebody invites me. I prefer that our candidates speak to get them as much straight time as possible, but if they want me to speak, I'm happy to do so. Candidates. We right now have two candidates for the U.S. House. I plan on running another gentleman, hopefully, who wants to run in the 3rd District. I plan on running a legislative candidate for the U.S. House. There are 8 seats open. I am currently in communication, shall we say, with 2 people for the Senate race. If we can get somebody in there, great. If not, so be it. But I do want a full plate at least for the House. We have 2 people in Baltimore County who are running for the state House of Delegates, Brandon Brooks and Justin Kinsey. Darlene, you canceled your. Okay. Darlene was nominated for PG County, but due to certain personal circumstances, had to suspend or cancel her candidacy. We also have a gentleman, Arden Bohr, who wants to run tonight in Montgomery County for State House of Delegates. As I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, getting big on candidates as a West candidate, it gets the message out. It gives us legitimacy as a party, especially when you're on a full slate. I know it's frustrating not getting people elected. A lot of people say, I talk to my friends, you guys never get anybody elected. I mean, part of it is because we don't run people on a regular basis. I'm not necessarily Maryland, but nationwide. It's like the old marketing rule of 7. People have to see something 7 times before they really understand the benefits of what it does. We have to keep telling people over and over and over again. I passed out to everyone a copy of an article by David Nolan, The Reason for a Libertarian Party. This is back in 1971 when he started up the party in Colorado. I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but I do want to cover the 7 points on the page, on the page two. There are seven reasons you started with the party. Number one, running candidates get the message out. They didn't have an internet back then, and even now it's still difficult to get the message out for us, but running candidates, it'll get out. The 98% of the people who are unlike us, political junkies like us, they only pay attention at election time. As I said before, by running candidates, where I work at the Port of Baltimore, out of 60 people, I bet 58 don't even know who we are or what we're about. Now, they're not the sharpest knives in the drawer, I'm not going to lie. But or, you know, we get the things, oh, the party limited the roof. Got it, that drives me nuts. This is when people pay attention. It's the cost-effective way by running candidates to get the message out. Number two, people can find us. People who didn't know we were libertarian. I was listening to the Gordon Liddy back in the early 90s, and Andre LaRue, the presidential candidate, came on his show. And I found out I was a libertarian, and I didn't know it. Number three, it gives us an idea of our strength in numbers. Number four, it gives us a way of organizing single-issue groups, such as gun groups and what have you. Once the issue goes away, they don't have a way of organizing. This is a way to get a long-term method of organization. Number five, a lot of times people's votes will cancel out. You have the anti-war people on the left and the civil liberties group. You'll have people on the right, the pro-business and the pro-gun groups, who vote Republican, whereas the others vote Democrat. This is a way their votes don't cancel out each other. Get some meaningful results instead of wasting it. Number six, as Lorenzo said, it drives the other parties nuts when we run. If no other reason to run the candidate is to take them off, and I mean that sincerely. You know how many times Dr. Davis, who he and his family had to leave, you guys caught that Andy Harris the race in the first. Well, I could argue all day and night different reasons why I think we didn't. But even if we get, I don't care. I just don't care. So, you know, put our name on the ballot in Maryland. And last, and number seven, maybe we'll elect some candidates. Notice that electing candidates was last on the list. David Nolan and they all knew what we were up against running as a third party, and things haven't changed. There are a lot of problems running as a third party. The first, what Bill Redpath is always talking about, the first past the post electoral system. If I had a dollar for every person, like, you know, I really like these guys, and I just hate that guy so much, I gotta vote against him. I should buy this restaurant for cash. I get the whole time, and I know that all of you who run here, they, you know, I'm sure hear that a lot of the time, too. It's hard winning elections without money. To win elections, you have to have money, but to get money, you have to win elections. You know, I mean, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. And, well, still, I said this a year ago, and it's still true, we are a radical party compared in the minds of most people. But we are becoming less radical by the day, due in large part to Ron Paul. I am still shocked that the issue of the Fed and the gold standard has become such a major issue. I never 2 or 3 years ago would have thought people would have latched on like this. You never know when people will hit that. All our predictions are coming true. The untenable wars, the spending that is out of control. The war on drugs is not the third rail issue it used to be. It really is, especially marijuana. Maybe the harder stuff, you know, people have problems with that. And marijuana, I really hear, you know, people talk about that like it did 5 to 10 years ago. Do you want to win elections now, or do you want to change hearts and minds?
Both.
Agreed. And if you want to win elections now, then you're better off being with a Democrat or a Republican. It's just the fact of the way it is. But if you want to change hearts and minds, you're better off being here. Because if you run as a Republican, and with all due respect to the gentlemen here who are Republicans, you're still saddled with George W. Bush, John McCain, Bob Ehrlich, or whatever.
They changed.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe a couple of people, percentage of the people will know what you're about, but still, people are going to sit there and say, oh, that's the party of that person or whatever. There is value in the libertarian label. There is value in the libertarian brand. All the more reason why we need to keep it as is and maintain our legitimacy. That's not to say we can't do damage, even now. Now, I'll give you a perfect example of Susan Gassignaga and Doug McNeil's campaign for governor. They're running on two hardcore issues, one on the left and one on the right. The one on the left is forcibly bring mandate that the troops come home from overseas. Now, there are a lot of states that have resolutions out on this. I don't think there's anybody who would say that we're going to force the issue. Has anybody heard any Democrats demanding that the National Guard come home? No, of course not. Getting rid of the sales tax, in which is 6% in 8 years. Republicans, you know, you don't hear any of them, you know, talking about flat out cuts. What I really like about this is it's a tangible, hard cut issue. It's not this shell game about the fair tax and the flat tax and all that nonsense, or we'll move a little bit. No, just get rid of it. Now, they want to do it in 8 years. I would rather get rid of it in 8 cents. Or less. But they're still doing it, and if they want to do it in a gradual way and it captures people's attention, all the better. I'm all for that, and I think this is great. There's a group I'm in Massachusetts called the Center for Small Government. It's run by Michael Clout and Carla Howe. I don't know if any of you are familiar with them. They ran in 2000 the Massachusetts initiative to get rid of the state income tax. This is one of the most Democrat states, probably even more Democrat than Maryland. On a shoestring budget, they got 45% of the vote to get rid of the state income tax. This really went, sent shockwaves through the establishment. Now, due to a quirk in the law, they couldn't do it for another 8 years. They came back last year and they did it again. This time they only got 30%. The teachers union was ready for them. On the other hand, the teachers union outspent them 78-1. They bankrupted the Massachusetts State Teachers Union. They had to Washington to do this. And as Michael Clout said, we're just going to fight a war of attrition. As we get our initiatives voted on, we're going to bankrupt you. And this year, they're doing an initiative to get rid of their sales, the sales tax up in Massachusetts. Now, they can't get rid of the whole thing. Constitutionally, they can only take it down to 3%. But this has been really riled up. And just, I really like their attitude of attack, just like Daniel McAndrew said about that. I mean, just go for it. Just really crank it up and put them on the defensive. That's what we need to do. I truly think our time is going to come. It's still going to take a little more time. I've always said this in 10 years, I do think we will start winning elections. This is going to be the year of the Republicans. Count on it. But we can't keep going like this as a country.
And lose ping pong politics.
Yeah, well,
the ball is always the same.
We can't spend like this. I mean, we can't keep doing these unconstitutional wars. This is crazy, really. Neither of the parties have any legitimacy. We are the only party that has legitimacy and also has issues on the left and the right that people can really accept. The biggest threat, in my opinion, to this party and to this country, again, with all due respect to our Republican friends here, is the Republican Party. They steal our rhetoric and they steal our principles all the time. 4 times in my lifetime, excuse me, every 15 years or so, every 15 years, we seem to have a popular small government movement in this country. 64, we had Goldwater. 80, we had Reagan. 94, we had the Republican Revolution. And 08, you know, Ron Paul / the Tea Party movement we're having. Goldwater begat Nixon, wage and price control, escalation of Vietnam, took us off the gold standard and created that great fiat currency that we have right now. Reagan tripled the deficit. Took 190 years from Washington to Carter to make a run up the deficit to $1 trillion. Took that great conservative icon Ronald Reagan 8 years to triple it. Not to mention the quadruple the prison population. Are you feeling safe for now 20 years later? Due to this just say no movement. The 1994 Republican Revolution. They were going to get rid of the Department of Energy and the Department of Education and the Corporate of Public Broadcasting. How did that work?
Still there.
Yeah. Of course, now during the Reagan years, they had the presidency and the Senate. They didn't have the House of Representatives, and that's where all the spending appropriations bills come. Well, 1994, they did get the House, and they had the Senate, but they didn't have the presidency, and Clinton was going to veto everything. That's why they couldn't cut government debt. But then in 2000, they got all three branches. Oh, and let's throw in a majority of the governorships, a majority of the state legislature, and you could really say the Supreme Court for that matter. We have the $10 trillion deficit, a $2.9 trillion budget in Bush's last year, which was 40% higher than that big pinko liberal commie Bill Clinton. The biggest incursion into education with the No Child Left Behind, biggest incursion into Medicare since Lyndon Johnson with the Medicare drug bill, and we have the highest incarceration rate in our prisons in the world, even more so than those great bastions of human liberty, Russia and China. So, I mean, you're just not going to get it through the Republican Party. It's just never going to. And look how we treated Ron Paul in 08. They did every parliamentary trick in the book to try to prevent him and his delegate from getting elected to the national convention. You had Flint articles framing him to this day, coming out of the Wall Street Journal. Guy from Reason Magazine, Daniel Harsanyi or something like that.
Bob Ehrlich lost the governorship because of the National Republican Party's reputation. And actually, Bob Ehrlich was a free governor of government.
I still think he could have still won that. I still think he abandoned his faith to a certain extent, but
he might have,
but I don't deny that. There's no question with that. It was just a way to be hung on the tail or what have you. As a party, we need to maintain our legitimacy. We need to hang in there for the long run. The Republicans are desperate for our legitimacy because they have no one when it comes to small government. They talk the talk and they never walk the walk any time. Let's keep our money, let's keep our candidates, keep it in this party, let's work for the long term, and truly create an alternative when people are going to be looking for it, when people finally have enough, we will be the alternative to that. You can't get it from the Green Party, they're a subset of the Democrats, the Constitution Party is a subset of the Republicans. So we're the only party with any true principles and any legitimacy. Any questions? I get fired up because again I see guys like Glenn Beck. I hear Limbaugh talk calling himself a libertarian again.
Bill Clinton called himself a libertarian once.
For the last 40 years, the Republicans have run the White House two-thirds of their time, and look what we have. So I know it can be frustrating not getting electoral victories or single digits. But let's hang in there for the long run and just not sell our souls. You know, Ron Paul gets a pass. He's walked, in my opinion, he's walked the talk. But until then, the Republicans are going to have to walk the talk and prove themselves before, I'll have anything to do with them.
Ron Paul is a patriot, a libertarian, and a constitutionalist who took an opportunity, a unique opportunity, okay, to do what he did, and then eventually got to do what he's done in the last couple of years. Anybody who tries to run as a Ron Paul Republican actually nothing but a Republican. Ron Paul is Ron Paul, and that's the end of it.
And I wouldn't maintain, too, a lot of people say, well, you don't have people elected in Congress. Ron Paul's been in Congress for a long time, and people didn't, for the most part, didn't know who he was until he was on the stage, and Rudy Giuliani, when he made that comment about why the Iraqis are over here, and Rudy Giuliani demanded that in his practice statement, and he absolutely refused it. That's what put Ron Paul on the map. It wasn't his work in Congress.
No.
Okay, if there are no more questions or comments, I would like to invite Dr. Jim Lark, our LNC rep, to come up for just a minute or two, if you would like to briefly talk to you.
Thank you very much, Bob. I'm here at the Libertarian Party of Virginia convention last week, and I'm delighted that. The pleasure was mine. I'm delighted to see that in Region 5 that we're getting more cooperation. We're getting folks from Delaware to come. For example, Jim Rash, who appeared at the picnic in August. You may know that Jim Rash is running for the United States Senate in Delaware, and I think we'll run a very good campaign. So it's just nice to have our friends come down.
Absolutely.
And it's also great to have the chance to come up and see my friends here in Maryland. I think probably the best way to handle this is just to ask if you have any questions about what's going on with the Libertarian National Committee and the National Party. If I can answer your questions, I'll be happy to. And if there are no questions, I'll just say ditto to what my good friend Mr. Johnson said. Any questions, comments? You always do me. Go ahead.
There was this rumor going around that there was an attempt by the National Committee to charge the delegates to the convention. Because we're going to be electing our delegates later, I believe. The bylaws are you cannot charge someone for attending a business meeting. And so my question is that going to be made clear to everybody?
I think it's already been made clear. What Dr. Ahmad is referring to, there was the convention committee, as you may know, our national convention will be taking place May 28th and 31st in St. Louis at the Radisson Hotel downtown. Very nice hotel. I hope that you will attend the convention if you have the opportunity. I think it's going to be a good convention. The convention committee asked for a registration fee. If you're going to attend, you should pay the registration fee. This caused a lot of consternation because there are many people, I among them, who feel that the best interpretation of the bylaws is that the LNC and no subcommittee of the LNC can impose this. By the way, I don't consider this fight to be good versus evil or smart versus stupid. I understand the arguments that were made by the other people. I just didn't agree with them. I think that the better interpretation is this is how the LNC has passed. That has basically gone away. Anyone who is a delegate, a credential delegate to the national convention, I think that there will be, you will be asked to pay a registration fee, but you will not be kept off the floor. I believe that the states are the ones who put forward the delegates. You will not be denied admission to the floor. So that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's already been taken care of. Now, whether everybody understands that, that's a different question. Do you see what I'm going with that? Do you understand? You all, if you are elected as delegates to the National Convention, you will not be required to pay any fee to be delegates on the floor. There is no fee. You can attend. You don't have to pay a penny to the convention. You don't have to buy any packages. You will be able, if you are an accredited delegate, if you go through the credential process, you cannot be denied if you don't pay the registration fee.
So appropriately, it should be called a donation.
Yes,
appropriately, it's a donation. And maybe for good PR, that's what it should start with. Call
at least that's
number
one. Good to me.
Number two, what is the suggested donation? $10 or 100?
The last I saw that there was a fee. The fee was going to be I think $50, but I'm not sure exactly what it is right now.
I would call the $50 fee suggested donation. I really would.
Sure.
That would change the climate, and I'm asking you to suggest it
sure.
to the LNC.
Yes, sir.
And just let me clarify, for those to attend the business meeting,
that's right.
In order to attend the convention event, they can, and I'm sure will, charge it.
That's been traditional.
Unless
you have to pay speakers and so
forth. Any further questions or comments?
Okay. Thank you very much. I would like to now invite Spirit Lancaster to come up and discuss the ballot access issue going through the General Assembly for a minute or two, please.
I don't have a lot to say. I was there, and the only other person there testifying was the Green Party. And you talked about a chance to come in and highlight the Liberty and Pride. This is a beautiful opportunity. And I got to tell you, I'm a little upset when no one shows up. And I don't think anyone sent me any written testimony. I'm sure certainly I heard it from you. And I think we're missing the Secretary. I do a lot of this. I testify and I think that when it's always say, as a libertarian, I feel and trust those people. No, that's like you know they're libertarian, and they know I'm one of them. But I think it's a wonderful thing to be named after that. And I was quite surprised that Senator Harris put this bill in. The bill said that we should have to get 10,000 signatures put on the ballot to reduce it to 5. And, we testified, but we've done it for 5,000 signatures are not critical. It's still a lot of work, and it's certainly more than enough to keep the party
I like to say that I know what's going on, and I didn't know that you were there. And I certainly would have sent, I would have sent statements, so would have sued them. So I don't know, I think we are really getting broke down, but I
feel bad.
I should have put it on the announcement.
Was it?
Yeah. I've spoken with Mr. Harris's chief of staff, Ms. Shaliga.
Yeah. Yeah. He's by the way running for House of Delegates.
Okay, thanks,
Chief. I don't think it got out of committee. There was no question there. You can tell us. If you get questions from the Senate, SB 7. And if both of us testified, and that was a notary chance of any questions. But it didn't get out last time, and I don't think it'll get out this time.
Did Mr. Raskin, Democrat from Montgomery County, co-sponsor like he did the last time?
Yes.
Okay.
May I suggest, next time something like this comes up, it doesn't just go into the generic list, but rather maybe you can call me or call two people up, and then we can call other people up directly.
Sure.
I think that might work better. Okay. More work and do a heck of a lot of work. I'm not trying to
hold
up on you. But
I'd like to use the announcement list because there's almost 800 people on the announcement list.
Yeah.
But I'm sure not all people are on there, so I should have all sent this to the MD. You
probably saw something, but a lot of times when there's a subject line and you see it's like, it's a little conversation about some philosophical point that's been going on for a couple weeks.
I'm trying to avoid it. Life is more interesting. But anyway, if you could do that, that would help a lot.
Okay.
I'm on the board, so you can call me, and we can try to organize, Mr. and I can try to organize a call entry, okay?
Okay, no problem.
All right, fine.
No problem. Before we get to, I'd like to make one more point also, before we get to the nominations for the executive board, about the state, even though we're a very small party, but how we can ruffle some feathers. One of our members of the board, Mr. Miroboda, he ran for Salisbury City Council last year. It's a non-partisan office. One of the things I'm grateful for, he ran as a libertarian. He didn't have to do that. It was very easy to call himself an independent or one of the other two parties that ran as a libertarian. And he didn't win, so be it, but he still, people know who he is now. Well, he wrote a letter to the editor in the local Daily Times, which is a daily paper down there, and the mayor apparently took offense to it. Would you like to speak to that just a minute?
We have an issue in Salisbury, and probably like in many, many cities. Our mayor, we ran for when he ran for mayor last year, he was a very nice guy, and I love his issue. But his whole thing was reduce crime. He promised to reduce crime in our city, make our river swimmable, fishable, and drinkable, or whatever, in 10 years, and what he promised. And so one of the things that he's done is he's going after slumlords, which are the, every town has areas that has houses that he's work on. So he's trying to be code enforcement. And one of the things was to go after, to kind of find property that they can get pressed, because they've always had trouble doing it against some of these landlords. One landlord has gone to tax against the city and taken them to court every time he went. And so they went after this lady, very nice neighborhood. She bought a home that had a garage, and it had a one-bedroom apartment. And it's licensed, people have been living there for years, and everything has always been approved. But they found a little clause in one of the codes, and so they went after her, and the zoning board, which is another part, they said that the tenant had to vacate within 60 days. So a lot of people were very upset about it, and so I wrote a letter to the editor, and then he sends me a personal email threatening to have code enforcement in my neighborhood on sidewalks if he was there. Because in Salisbury, you have a sidewalk in front of your house, you're responsible for it. And it's actually part of the house construction, part of the cost. So I sent him an email back and said, well, check the neighborhood too, because I think I sprained my ankle on your street when I was So there was, so anyway, we have a nice back and forth on the street, but it was nice to receive a personal email from
him. You know what I love about his letter to the end of the last few lines. Let me just say, well, I was either err on the side of liberty
and on the side of oppression.
Absolutely. And then it says, Miroboda is a member of the Maryland Libertarian Party Executive Board. Being swell of pride.
Can you share the announcement so we can see the letter?
Sure, I have to figure out how to send stuff out. If I get stuff,
send it to me on the moderator or whatever. I'd be happy to put it in there. All right, it is time for nominations to the executive board. There are seven positions. All positions are open. I'll start by nominating myself. Who else would?
I second that.
Okay. I'm going to take names first, and then we'll have everybody speak briefly.
Nominate Lorenzo.
I'll nominate you.
Second.
Mr. Linder.
Nominate
myself.
All right.
Second.
I'll nominate David
Finch. I'll nominate Robert Blader.
Second. You've already nominated yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if no one else wishes, I'll nominate Justin Kinsey. He's not here. I'll let somebody else would like to be on board. Okay, very well, Justin. All right.
Second.
We have a slate. I believe it's a two-thirds. We would like
three
to...
Fifth.
What's that?
You want approval of the slate?
Yeah, if...
Three
fifths. Okay.
I
yeah. Okay. Three fifths vote, 60% to nominate, to elect the slate, if you will, in its entirety. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Nice and easy. Thank you very much. We will meet right after the convention just to discuss the next meeting, what have you. Nomination of delegates to the national convention. We have room for 20 delegates and 50 alternates.
The 20th one.
It's 2020? Okay. 50
because the maximum of 50 or the amount of delegates.
Okay. All right, 2020. I mean, we rarely fill it up anyway. Who would like to be a delegate? Who would like to be a delegate and is pretty sure they're going to be there in St. Louis?
We'll call up the name so I can have one.
Okay, Derek Pomeroy. Mike Linder. Susan and Lorenzo.
How many of them?
Darlene Nicholas. Bob Johnson. Leo Banowski. Who else? Still have room.
I'm going to go to my wife because I might be back in the table.
Okay.
Well, we put some things in Spain.
I'd like to nominate Sue Sim.
Okay.
That usually goes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if you raised your hand or not.
I'll go.
Okay. Jerry McKinley. Okay. Steve Boone. Anybody else? Okay. I mean, yeah.
Well, I got 12. I got Darlene, Leo, Duff,
Robert, could you read off your list just in case we missed somebody?
I have Derek Pomeroy, Michael Linder, Susan, Dustin Yango, Lorenzo Dustin, I got Darlene, Nicholas, Leo Domowski, Robert Johnson, Peter Lancaster, Stuart Sims, Jerry McKinley, Steve Boone, and Alan Nicholas.
Do you
want to throw
in
just in case?
If you leave my name around,
you know,
I'll have vacancies, you can put my name in, but
nope.
I may not, I'll probably not be
able to. Okay. The routine thing that we do is, I start with the deep ones in as delegates, and then I take the remainder of the central committee, and since we have 34 central committees, I just fill them out, just throw the names in for the delegates and the alternates, that way if anybody in the central committee wants to go, they can go. But the thing is, what we have to do now, if there's anybody who's not in the central committee that you think might want to go, we have to nominate them now, because I can't do that after the fact.
I don't repeat. If I can, they better be on the central committee. It's very easy for central committee members to be alternate. If you're not a central committee member and you want to go and represent Maryland, you have to be nominated now. Speak now if you're not a central committee member.
We got room.
Okay. Unless anyone else speaks up, I'll presume that nomination is closed. Yeah. For the convention. Yeah. Wayne Dowdy.
Okay, well, rather than be short, if people are interested in coming here,
Okay. Nomination of candidates for office for 2010. I would like to open up the floor for informal discussion. There are two gentlemen here who both wish to be nominated for office. Through my own fault, I forgot to ask them if they were registered libertarians in the state. One gentleman is running for federal office. He's a registered independent. Mr. Borer, do you think you are?
I'm about 95%.
Okay. Doug McNeil feels that the gentleman running for federal office, it shouldn't be a problem if you're not, if he's not affiliated with the state Libertarian Party, but for the state office, Mr. Borer, it could be.
This is a very complicated legal question, and the law is contradictory on this. Basically, the law requires that any person who's a candidate for nomination by a political party must be affiliated with that party. That is, affiliated means being registered with the state as being a libertarian. But there's an exception to the law, and that is for federal candidates who seek nomination by petition. This is left over from 2003 when, before that, our candidates had the petition. So before 2003, we did not have to, candidates for our nomination did not have to be affiliated with the party. In 2003, there was a landmark ballot access case struck down the candidate petition requirement. I testified as an expert witness in that case, incidentally, Green Party Board of Elections. Now, so in 2006, they rewrote the law to say that we don't have to petition anymore. We didn't have to petition after 2003. The law was still on the books, but it was unenforceable. So after when they rewrote the law in 2006, they missed this section. So they left it like it was in the old days when we had a petition. So now the legal question is, what does that section mean? Does a federal candidate have to be affiliated with our party or not in order to get our nomination? And the election board takes the position that they do have to be affiliated with it. I think there's a very good legal case that we don't have to be, our nominees do not have to be affiliated, but to overturn the election board's position, we would have to take them to court. And I think we could win that. I've been involved in 7 election law cases, and I haven't lost one yet. So the status of the law is unclear. In practical terms, if we were to nominate these two individuals and they were then to change their party affiliation by filling out a form with the state, that was a form, change of party affiliation, and then have their party change of party affiliation go into effect, then the state wouldn't notice any difference and they would process it normally. The legal question is up in the air. My view is, but then there's a provision in the Maryland LP bylaws that says we can't nominate anybody unless they meet the requirements for being elected, state requirements for being elected to that office. And I think arguably the candidate for federal office does meet those requirements, at least according to my interpretation of the law. But certainly, the exception is only for federal office, so the candidate for state office clearly does not meet the requirements. Yeah, I wish I could make a little more clear.
My question to you, Mr. McNeil, is Mr. Borer is 90% sure he's a registered libertarian, but he's not 100% sure. What is the worst thing that could happen if we nominated him and he were to go home and realize he's not a registered state libertarian?
I would say change your registration to libertarian and then file in a couple of weeks, and they would accept it.
So we can still nominate him and delay his filing, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Just so they don't have to make another trip all the way up. Like
I wish I could make it simpler, but it isn't.
Can you move your voter card? I love them a lot. I've been using a business card for the last couple of weeks, so I don't have time. hope you call your parents.
Okay.
Well, I personally say, without any legal knowledge whatsoever, that I think we could nominate this gentleman and then just make darn sure. Go to your post office, pick up a change of affiliation form, and fill it out saying libertarian, and then you're scot free.
I'm not an attorney, so I don't want to comment on whether Douglas Neal's interpretation of the law is correct or not, but as co-author of the bylaws, I will say that it was the intention of the founders of the bylaws that only affiliates of the Libertarian Party were under these auspices. We depended on the law as it was written at the time and didn't put in a redundant clause. If Doug is correct, and then I would like to move that we amend the bylaws in order to make this a requirement right now. In any case, as regards the question of the people who want to run for bay, I would say that they are not registered libertarians at this time, but intend to rectify that, we could nominate them on the condition and with the understanding that they are going to rectify that technical flaw. And then they're required to do so, or our election would be considered null and void.
Yeah. I just don't want them to have to make another trip off. They've gone a lot of expensive trouble to do. And I apologize for my own, causing this to happen. Okay. Any objection then to conducting what Dina Mott said?
I second.
Okay. Since hearing no objection, then we will do that then. All right. First, I would like to bring up Jerry McKinney. He is running for the U.S. House in the 3rd District, John Sarbanes District. And like I check out everybody on the state judicial website to make sure they're not felons or anything like that. You never know. Get to talk a little bit yourself.
So my name is Jerry McKinley. I moved to Maryland in May of 2004 from Washington State. I've had a very strong libertarian streak in me, and considering the past two terms of the previous administration and the way the current administration is going, I decided enough is enough, and that was the impetus for me to, as an American citizen, stand up and do something about it. So that's why I threw my name in the hat and reached out to Bob, and here I am in front of all of you.
Does anybody have any questions before we take the vote?
Have you figured out a couple of issues that you're particularly going to push?
Absolutely. I really want to push on the whole balanced budget piece of federal legislation. We're obviously bankrupting our future. It cannot continue this way. We've got to figure out a way to, in the long term, cut back on some of the entitlements and programs that are untenable. That is just my core piece of everything that I'm building the campaign on.
Are getting out of a war part of cutting down on
absolutely. I mean, that is one of the principles here at the Libertarian Party. It's one that I feel strongly about. My family has a very strong military heritage. I unfortunately was not able to join the military, and maybe in retrospect that was a good thing. But my brother has been to the Middle East on a number of tours. I don't think that there's a reason for us to be there. And we can pull out, and there are other ways of making sure that we're a safe and secure country without going out proactively being a militant nation.
Okay, if I don't ask, somebody else will. There is a requirement for asking you if you support the non-intervention clause, which basically says that a person or group of persons does not have the right to impose its beliefs.
To initiate force or fraud in order to see to an event.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. I strongly believe that no one person, country, or organization has the right to impugn upon other people's opinions or livelihoods. Coming out from out west, that's kind of a no-brainer. But also having lived abroad, I've seen what happens when you do let that run rampant. So, Mike, do you have a question back there?
Well, I was just going to ask you, have you read the American Libertarian Party's
program and having you agree with him, everything there, or do you have
to that actually wouldn't apply to his office?
No. So I have reviewed it. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any objections that I have to it. I can't say that when I took the world's smallest or fastest political quiz, I scored an 80 and 80. There are certain things that I think, you know, are kind of maybe in my perspective in terms of a national security question. But in terms of an individual's rights, I mean, I was absolutely along the path and probably would score 100-100, but I'm not quite there.
What are those national security issues you have in relation to?
Well, one of the items that I'm concerned about is the national ID thing. I mean, it makes sense that not that there's a centralized database and ID issued by the federal government, but maybe there should be a standard of what the ID should look like so that across all 50 states, federal and local authorities know what to expect, know what those pieces are to ensure that it works. Today, a Maryland license is different from a Washington license, from an Idaho license, from a Colorado license. So it makes it somewhat difficult for protecting our borders when someone can come in and say, I've got this ID that's valid. You know, and that's just, it's almost a common sense item, but it's not necessarily a national ID.
If I may ask a follow-up question, what are the differences between the Maryland ID and other states driving license, and they do not necessarily put the Social Security number on the license? So are you envisioning that you force Maryland put the Social Security
number? Oh, God, no. I mean, I'm sorry. Now, using the Social Security number as an identifier is a bad idea in the first place. Whoever came up with it should be drawn and quartered, because by having that one piece of effectively public information about you, I can then begin to steal your identity, your credit, your financial information. And it was just wrong. It should have been a unique identifier like the ID number on your driver's license today. There was another question over here. Yes.
I've never run a campaign. I was kind of curious exactly what you were trying to do in the office or helping them.
That's a great question. Really, I'm looking for suggestions and ideas. Some of the things that I've come up with, having over a decade's worth of experience in the business world, specifically telecommunications, I think that communications piece of any campaign is going to be critical. So to that effort, I'm looking at a lot of web 2.0 activity. In terms of what I'm looking for from the party and what people can do to help, is the introduction into your communities that are part of the 3rd congressional district. Get me into any town hall meetings or introduce me to whoever is a key player in Annapolis, Howard County, Baltimore County, Baltimore City, anywhere that may be impacted or influenced by my campaign so we can get the word out there. I'm not necessarily looking for donations either. I think that there's one thing that Barack Obama did really well, and that was a very grassroots, low-dollar value contribution from many people. That speaks very well of populism, unfortunately. I don't think he's done a good job of sticking to his campaign promises, and that's unfortunate, but then again, he's a Democrat.
Okay. Anybody else? Let's take a vote. 60% required. All those in favor of Mr. McKinley's candidacy, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Congratulations. Now we present Arvin Bora, who is running for the State House of Delegates from Montgomery County. I'm sorry for the decision.
I'm just
okay.
Just maybe 3 or 4 minutes to introduce myself. As you guys know, I'm Arvin Bora. I'm an educator and entrepreneur for the Village of Maryland. Just a little bit about my background. In 2001, I founded Arvin Bora Education. In 2008, I founded Mindful Software. And in 2009, I founded a company called Education Sale, which essentially is high-end tutoring to people that normally wouldn't be able to afford it. My book, The Equation for Excellence, How to Make Your Child Excel at Math, was published both in the United States and China. Before I started my own business, I worked as an actuary. And before that, I studied math and economics at the university. Over the last few months, people have asked me why I'm choosing this kind of job as well. And I usually talk about education policy. You know, competition and choice have given us faith of the best universities in the world. I mentioned the good roadmap to America for K-12 education.
also talk about monetary policy, those are interested in patent based policy. But there's one sort of area that I don't really talk about at all. And I want to take just maybe 2 minutes to talk about that right now. When I was about 12, I first learned about Port Federal standards, what we now call earmark standards. And when I learned about this, I was madder about that than I'd ever been about it. I was furious. But what I actually did, like, what did I actually do in this situation? I did what most people in this situation are doing right now across the country. Just to stay sane and to function as a person in society, I sort of pushed it out of my mind. It's not that I forgot about it, but I actively avoided thinking about it. You know, I did support both libertarian, and I did what I could convince myself was enough. Because people love the idea of the Libertarian Party. Then a couple of years ago, there was a ludicrous proposal put before the American people. A Wall Street bailout. Like many of you in this room, I was, and an actuary and an economist, I was flabbergasted that this would even be an issue. I called my friends and acquaintances, I wrote to my congressmen and senators, many of my friends and acquaintances wrote to their congressmen and senators, but it obviously wasn't enough. And I lost basically with the rest of you as those who are supposed to represent our interests instead rewarded dishonesty and incompetence with about $1 trillion. Now our military budget is about $500 billion. The total amount that people spend per year on college tuition is about the same. The bailout was enough to cover both. It was enough to pay every college student's yearly college tuition twice over. And then I thought about what my parents didn't buy, basically, in order to send me and my younger sister to college. You know, I thought about the new cars they never bought. I thought about the fancy dinners they never had. I thought about the vacations they didn't take. I thought about the designer clothes they certainly never even thought about. And then I think about the multi-million-dollar bonuses that the Democrats and Republicans eventually handed to Wall Street. And that's basically why I'm here right now. I mean, the kind of government that we have been told by the other two parties simply to accept is just not acceptable. I mean, it may be the way things are, as the other two parties love to point out, but it's really just not the way things have to be. And our government has become like this over decades. And it's going to take decades to reverse. I mean, it happened by inches. And it's going to get reversed by inches and millimeters, a percentage of time. But it's going to happen. In fact, those of you in this room know it's already started to happen. Mm-hmm. But libertarians and independents already hold hundreds of elected offices, all the way from state council all the way up to the Senate. So, really, that kind of summarizes what it is that I'm looking to do. I mean, I want to join that place. I want to take that place with the rest of you to Annapolis. So I'm really asking you for the privilege to represent the party as a candidate for the House of Delegates. Any questions?
What district?
15.
15? And another question. Looking at you as a very young man, you've done a lot of things, so I guess when you did that at 12, you started working.
when I got mad at 12, I thought that there was nothing I could do about it. It's just the type of thing where you either accept it or forget about it. Now I've built independent businesses that have gone against much, much, much bigger competitors, really successfully taking business away from companies that I consider less responsible about giving them other companies. So it's a different time now. I'm coming at this from a very different
perspective. The same thing with the political
stuff. Exactly. And it's just like when you look at people who go to McDonald's, people love going to McDonald's. But then when they find something that's better than McDonald's, they don't really go back to McDonald's. I mean, there's no one who becomes a libertarian and is like, oh no, I just realized all of a sudden that pointless wars and that standing are the right thing to do. I mean, it's a one-way thing. And every person you gain,
so we're Panera.
Yeah. More than that. Not a part of anybody.
Good. Thanks.
You agree
that
the principle that no person or group has the right to initiate force or fraud against any other person or group to keep from obtaining their rights?
Yes.
And are you familiar with our gubernatorial candidates' two issues that you've identified so far and maybe most of them you're
I would actually need your request on that.
Okay. Eliminate the sales tax in 8 years. We shortened that to six to zero and eight, and then ordering the Maryland National Guard back to Maryland.
I think that both of those are policies that I personally think are excellent ideas, and there's not anything I can do policy at all for that.
And you would work for them if you're elected?
Of course.
What are your views on gun rights?
You know, I grew up in a house with a lot of guns. I've been around guns since I was young. I do believe that people need to learn to use guns responsibly. I do think that the responsible abuse of arms is not just something that's good, but not just something that's okay or acceptable. I think it's something that's actively possible. So I guess I'm going to say that I'm in favor. One thing I'd just like to add to that, to me, guns are like the last sort of stand that we have. Didn't get that far. And, you know, as we've seen in Afghanistan, and we saw, you know, in 30 years ago, a very important situation, that when a government becomes tyrannical, a very small group can really fight against a much larger, more powerful group. And I think the right thing is to do that.
After working with Arvin for, I guess, a year and hearing about all his ideas and libertarianism and stuff, I became really passionate about the cause as well, and, I'm trying to convince some of my friends to, I guess, come over to my side of the cup. So, who's easier to convert? Democrats or Republicans?
You usually spend a lot of time talking to Republicans because we're so close to some of the issues. But on the emotional issues, where there's no real fact to the matter. I mean, you know, a lot of libertarians are pro-choice, and they're not a fact. I mean, that's really an emotional thing. We're on the same part outside of the Democrats. And the other areas where we disagree, I think there is a fact. I mean, it is a fact that maybe people don't understand, but if the government issues a bunch of debt, and then the Fed dumps a bunch of money into the system, that devalues the currency, and sort of a de facto tax on everybody. I mean, that's like a fact. There's no room for disagreement on this. So I think that really a lot of our sort of force should be on the people in the Democrat Party to agree with the motion I'm on here. Maybe you'll understand some of the policies.
Actually, Doug and I are planning to go after the Democrat vote primarily, but run to the left of, I guess, that would be a Republican competition, whoever they may be.
Well, fundamentally, the Republican Party nationally, if I'm going to put it on the nationally, of course, is lying about this. Pretty much. And the same for the Democratic Party nationally has been lying about this.
And certainly,
peace and no war.
Sure.
I mean, receiving a Nobel Peace Prize, that's the first time. Okay. You know, I mean, you talk about. Well, did you know that Nancy Pelosi said that we need to pass the health care bill?
That
way we can know about
it.
We're going to
Does anybody have any other questions? Let's take a vote. All those in favor of Mr. Boer's candidacy, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Congratulations.
And that special point that Arvin brought up, as well as Melissa, we really need to hammer, this is a Democratic state, and we really need to hammer these people on the war on the civil liberties issue. Is there anyone of the federal Democrats, is there anyone's knowledge in the state, who has not voted for the War Appropriations or for the Patriot Act? I don't think there is.
No, there is. They don't know that.
Exactly. I mean, we've really got to hammer these guys on that.
The rally is outstanding and just a point of anything having to do with the war effort.
Yeah, O'Malley went to Iraq, and I heard him on the radio, and he sounded just like George W. Bush. Yeah. He even spoke as badly.
But, I mean, John Farby. He was the war thing, the Patriot Act. That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're all from the war, except just a few days ago, Donna Edwards from the 4th District voted for, and she finished the
resolution to pull out of Afghanistan within 30 days. So she was a real peace candidate who defeated the pro-war incumbent Al Wynn in the Democratic primary.
There are 5 seats left, the 4th through the 8th congressional districts for the House of the Representatives. If anybody wants to run, we have until the end of June. Please let me know. I don't care if you spend a dollar. I just want to get the name on the ballot. I want to get the word libertarian out, and I want to get the message out that both a left and a right issue, so we can lay the groundwork for future elections. Okay, the floor is open for new business. I'm sorry, before that, Mr. Hicks.
I just wanted to suggest that if you are able to get candidates in all 8 congressional districts, that it might make a good precedent to get the candidates all together to endorse some agenda that is small, not small in impact, but succinct, 1 or 2 or 3 issues, and that play on these types of things that go after Democrats. They did just re-up the Patriot Act without any changes, just punted on it. That's the energy that brought the Democrats in was opposition to war and opposition to the attack on the rule of law and civil liberties, and they've done almost zilch. And what they have done has been window dressing, so it is a great thing. You could go a different way, but bringing everyone together and giving people a bite-sized nugget of here's why we're different, would it, I think, be a good approach.
Also, I would add, I agree with Paul said, and I would add to it that we could also mention opposition to bailout. Same argument, same reason.
We have a brief program committee report to take care of.
The program committee, thank you. There was no additions or deletions to the program committee. So, thank you for bringing up that housekeeping.
Just the other day, the Baltimore County delegation decided that they would support a measure to give a majority elected school board in Baltimore County. It's a real strange thing to do from the independent executive and the current school board. Well, they're not so much in favor. The same thing is supposed to happen with the city as well. We have about 8 members of the city school board and 8 members of the county school board, and then 7 as the appointed. Since this is something that we in Baltimore County have kicked around for a little bit, I'd like to introduce a resolution that I have to give you a formal resolution right now, or just make it a sense of the party, that we strongly support such efforts to make a majority elected school board in both Baltimore City and County.
Do you have a specific resolution written up?
Not right now, no.
Okay. Would you like to right now? I need something concrete.
No, I understand.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
It might be in our program under education. Encourage counties to elect school boards.
I reiterate what's in our program, then, and you know, put a pressure on these out there for this is, you know, this is part of the program that we've offered for X number of years, and we strongly support the effort.
I'd like to move the following amendment to our bylaws, that we insert in whatever the appropriate place is the following sentence. All candidates for the Maryland LD of public office must be registered libertarians as defined in the qualifications of central committee membership.
Do I hear a second?
Let me just minor correction. I'm sure you'll accept it. It's not in our bylaws, it's in our constitution.
Okay. In the constitution.
You want to change the constitution? That's where we have to do the whole thing about getting a 75% vote and all that? Or can we amend the constitution?
We can't amend it here. What happens is we vote the amendment to be considered now.
Right.
And then at our next meeting, it can be discussed, and we may amend it now. And then whatever we amend gets discussed and passed or voted down at the next meeting.
Okay.
got the summer.
And there's rules about how we let people vote by mail or
right.
by proxy.
But can we amend it with just a majority vote, or is that strictly for putting something new or deleting?
The majority vote is strictly to put it on the agenda
right.
for next time to be voted on.
Okay.
Bob's going to say this. I'm saying this is a discussion.
Right.
Yeah. Article 7, Section 1. And amendments may be proposed by a majority vote of a meeting of the State Central Committee, that's us now. And then each such proposal shall be investigated by a committee consisting of the chairman, one other member of the executive board, and at least three volunteers from the State Central Committee. After the committee completes its investigation, it shall issue a recommendation for or against the proposal within 8 days. If the committee is evenly divided, the recommendation shall be against. The proposal, together with the provisions of the Constitution affected by it and the recommendation, shall then be published to the membership of the whole State Central Committee. Each member of the State Central Committee shall have the right to cast her vote on ratification by a letter over her signature directed to the Secretary or another specified officer and delivered before the State Central Committee acts on a question of ratification. Members shall be reminded of this right in the proposal. The State Central Committee shall not act on ratification until at least 14 days after the publication. Ratification shall be by an affirmative vote of at least 3/4 of the votes cast, whether by letter, in person, or by proxy, provided that such affirmative votes number at least 20% of the entire membership of the State Central Committee. Any amendments shall be filed with the State Board of Elections within 30 days after it.
And my question is, do you want to do this now as far as setting up the committee and everything?
No, all you do is come up with the new word. The rest of it follows either yes or no.
The committee that has to investigate it. If
yeah.
the wording is, if my proposal,
the chair of two people,
whether amended or not, is approved, then the next step is the committee to be appointed that will write a report. Then the proposal, the report, and all this other stuff gets published to the membership for the council at the next.
Well, what happens now is the amendment has to be proposed.
Yeah, right now we're just proposing the amendment.
Proposing majority vote.
Majority vote.
Correct.
And it can be, and the amendment can be amended at this time.
Sure. Was there a second?
Second.
Yeah. There was a second to the amendment. Does anybody wish to speak for or against the motto?
I'd like to hear again, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'll give it to you if you read my handwriting. I'll speak to it as my motion, but I don't know if I need to say much. It's following on the discussion I had regarding Doug's analysis of the current law. It was the intention of the bylaws that such a rule apply. It wasn't necessary to put it in the Constitution, of the Constitution that such a rule applied. It wasn't necessary to put it in the Constitution because at the time the Constitution was written, it was already state law. Now that it may or may not be state law, I would like it to be explicit in the Constitution. For the reasons I spoke. It basically says that if you want to be a candidate of the Libertarian Party, you have to be a registered Libertarian. You don't need our nomination to do that. It's a nonpartisan office. Yeah, what you would come to us for would be technically an endorsement and has no legal binding whatsoever.
You want to watch her come apart?
I have to be there first.
Oh, okay. You guys are so anal.
I just want to say that even if it's true, and if even if we're to have a court case that turned out that the state law does not require our nominee to be affiliated with the party, we may still want to require it anyway, and we can do that in the Constitution and bylaws. So I'm not opposed to the proposal at all.
Anybody else wish to speak to this amendment for or against?
I think the problem that we have, possibly even continuing, is interpreting whether this means they have to be registered right now for us to nominate them, or I just want to make sure that's the problem they have right today. We're not sure of the meaning. Whatever this is, I want to make sure it's very clear.
In the future, it'll be a requirement, but because we can't pass it now. It is my intention that in the future.
I'm just saying, this says all candidates must be. It doesn't say, I'm not arguing for or against, but it doesn't say they have to be registered to be nominated. It just says the candidates have to be registered, which is like the situation today. The candidates will be registered libertarian, but they're not registered libertarian
at the time of filing. So what that means is, if this were the rule already, what we did today would have been automatically allowed without my having a discussion on it.
Okay. All right, as a point of question here, the requirements in the Constitution as far as being a Senate committee member, as far as being registered, or in the cases where the party is not, so forth and so on, then attempting to register and having been not declined by the state. That all still part of what we got in there.
Exactly. Yeah. That was intentional.
Even though the Libertarian nomination at that point isn't going to give us anything.
Correct.
Okay.
Just for clarification, can you tell that they be registered at the time of nomination or at the time of filing?
The wording, as been pointed out correctly by Bob, the wording will require them to be registered by time of filing.
Okay.
Any other questions? All those in favor,
please. I think I should read what we have.
And
I may not have it correct. Append to Article 7, Section 1 of our Constitution. All candidates of the Maryland Libertarian Party to public office must be registered libertarian at the time of filing as defined in the qualification for Central Committee membership.
I didn't use the words at the time of filing.
That's what came up.
That was a question of what the meaning was.
I think it was trying to make it more clear. That's what came up.
Okay, then I think you have to move at the time of filing to the end of the sentence.
Excuse me, we are talking about libertarian registration by the time of filing.
Yeah.
So you can nominate the condition of registration by the time of filing. Back there in the wording?
Except that at the time of filing, that needs to be at the end of the sentence.
I think that makes it very unclear. Is it as defined in the qualification for Central Committee membership at the time of filing?
It's registered libertarian as defined in the qualification, not the time of filing as defined in the qualification.
If you wanted to read, all candidates of the Maryland Democratic Party to public office must be registered libertarian as defined in the qualification for Central Committee membership at the time of filing? Don't you know?
Okay, I'm going back to my original wording. I did not use the words at the time of filing. If someone wants to add them, they'll have to move to amend my motion.
Well, I'm just going to amend it.
Where do you want to put the words?
Put it where it's clearer.
Can we use the words that they define clearer?
The words can be vague.
How is it at the very beginning of the sentence? At the very beginning of the sentence.
Yes.
At the time of filing, all candidates of the NWP must be
registered.
That's clear. That's explicit.
All right.
We have a motion for revised wording. Because we're getting to the point where now we're discussing whether the fly that falls in the holy water is sanctified or the water is.
You mentioned that in order to nominate, you wanted to be a libertarian.
That they file in and out.
How about so somebody here is not a libertarian? You nominate as a libertarian. I think that's what I think.
Conditional on that they will, before filing, become a libertarian.
I think the technical.
We all agree on that. The question was how to word it.
I think the technical thing would be that until we nominate a person who's not registered as a libertarian, until they change it, the party chair or secretary will not issue a certificate of nomination.
Right. Yeah. Does anybody have anything else in the supplement issue? It's a
blind and blind.
Okay.
Read it again, Robert.
One more time and then we'll take a vote.
I just thought of a wrinkle. Obviously, President and Vice President are excluded from this because you didn't have
Okay, Robert, would you read it one more time?
Append to Article 7, Section 1. the time of filing, all candidates of the Maryland Libertarian Party to public office must be registered libertarian as defined in the qualifications of such committee membership. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Assume we should be on that committee. Does anybody else wish to be on the committee as far as to explore the issue?
All right, I'll be on it.
Okay. I think we need one more non-officer. Who do we have? Myself, Lorenzo, Gilbert Hill, Steve Boone, Dean Ahmad, and I think we need one more person from the executive board.
No,
I know, but why? Don't we need two people besides me?
Besides him.
You need three volunteers.
Right. So how many executive board members besides me?
So three volunteers that are not executive.
Right. And then myself as the chair, and then isn't there two more executive board members?
No,
one.
No, one.
Okay.
One.
Okay. Right. So
we have five members now?
Yeah.
Okay, and I suggest we meet later today so we don't have to...
That's fine. That's fine. Any other new business?
What? I don't know. And we met the other day, and turns out Jack's running for the 32nd district for state legislature. Unfortunately, Dr. Jack has not been libertarian. He's running as a Republican. But on the basis of friendship, I just told him that I would at least mention that he's here and that he wants to say for 1 minute something to make it great.
Do I hear a second? Is there any objection to Dr. Gordon speaking for a few minutes?
Anyway, Dr. Jack Gordon, and fortunately, Susan has done very well, otherwise, he wouldn't have tried. But I'm running in the 42nd district, which is Towson, Lucasville, Simonian area. And so, if you know anybody over there, I'd love to have their support. I think, interestingly enough, one of the things that I think that President Bush said, which destroyed our Republican Party so long ago, is he became a Democrat. And so I would argue that the Republican Party still stands for a lot of libertarian-like principles. I think that's why it's always opposed. And while we're, I think that in 94, 96, when the Republicans took over the Congress, they actually had the right idea. They had the contract with America, and then the Republicans, unfortunately, in 2000, forgot where they came from, and that's why they threw them out in 2006 and 2008, and they should have. Unfortunately, they didn't realize the devil that they elected, as far as I'm concerned. And in my humble opinion, the class warfare that the Democrats preach all the time is something that we need to worry about. I think that I personally am a fiscal conservative. I think that on the social or emotional part of it, as was mentioned before, I think we need to get the building out of our bedrooms and out of our wallets and have them go back to do what they're supposed to do, which is keep the roads going and things like that. So the other thing that got me into this, and this is my first shot at this, is I am a recruiting surgeon, obviously. And I am diametrically opposed to the socialism that's being pushed upon us nationally and locally. You have in the state of Maryland, unfortunately, the physician population is dwindling. We are the number 50 in physician reimbursement in the country. The national Medicare reimbursement is supposed to be cut by 21%, and we're going to have a lot of people especially, they're not going to be able to take care of guys like me and everybody else. They're not going to have enough positions. And we're going to have to reverse that trend somehow to get the best and brightest go back into medicine. So, anyway, that's basically some of the benefits. I could go on for a long time. I think that it had some great comments that people do a lot of good things. But I think what we need to do is get stalemate in the national committee. Legislature, we have to have people, we have an out of control one party state. And no matter whether it's Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians, there's one party that get abused. And so I think that's what we need to do, is balance off our legislature so we can have true bipartisanship. And then I think that a lot of the tenants that we have in this room can get a hearing. Because right now, there is no hearing. And lower taxes, fiscal responsibility. I believe that the Republicans have put those forth, but they've never gotten out of committee. Same way, locally. Please, thank you very much.
Susan, would you rather see Alan later?
Maybe we should get through the selection of. We already did the selection of delegates. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Our gubernatorial candidate, Susan Gastengard, would like to speak for a few minutes.
Yeah. I'm running for first guy. Okay.
You need the microphone.
Might as well. Why not?
Okay.
We're paying for this thing, right? Anyway, I know that I don't want to keep you away from dinner for too long. But I just thought it was incumbent upon me to say a few words so actually people can actually see me, hear me a little bit, decide, I'm going to really do a good job representing the party on the state level and everything like that. Actually, I guess just to say a little bit about how I came to be here in this position as candidate for governor. I have to give credit to a friend of Lorenzo's and mine, Denise Minter, that... some of you met almost a year ago now at the last Central Committee meeting. At that time, she was planning to run for governor, and we had convinced her that, actually she convinced herself. She went online, did a lot of research about the party, took the world's smallest political quiz online, all this kind of thing, and she really felt that she could be right at home in the Libertarian Party and with great comfort run as our candidate for governor. And she had a lot of potential, I think, to put us on almost permanent ballot access status by getting enough. We felt she could even maybe get 10% of the vote if she really pushed it. She had that kind of background, but because of personal reasons, she wasn't able to pursue that candidacy. And then I refer to her now as our party's Howard Dean. If you remember when George Bush was elected, given his second term, the Democratic Party initially was just going to he's the incumbent, he's got his second term, there's not much we can do about it. They're just going to let him get it, not really put up a serious challenge. And then Howard Dean came forward and with the money he raised and the momentum and the movement he got started, he kind of woke them up out of their stupor. They said, hey, wait a minute, we can't let this happen, there's a chance, so they got galvanized and at least made a good effort to try to stop Bush from getting his second term. And that's kind of what Denise did for us. She pulled out, but it kind of woke us up and said, well, we should be running somebody. We're a party, we're the Libertarian Party, we're in Maryland. How can we not have a candidate for governor? And I keep thinking about back when we were backing Kevin Zeke for Senate, there was a candidate by the Populist Party for governor. There's a candidate for the Green Party for governor. Each of these guys got maybe 100 or 200 votes out of places like Western Maryland and the Eastern Shore. I know they never even went there. Probably the people out there never heard of them, never heard of the Green Party, never heard of the Populist Party, certainly never heard of Ed Boyd and Chris Driscoll. But they gave them their vote, and it was a vote of people who wanted something else. They were looking for something else. They went to the ballot box, and they said they didn't want to vote for either the Democrat or the or the Republican candidate, they're, wow, there is something else here. And so they gave their vote to these guys. And I thought, oh, how, if they can get 100 or 200 votes on the Eastern Shore without doing anything, what can we do? If we just make a little effort, we can really make an impact. And as I think you've already heard a number of times, working together, collaborating over the phone, Doug and I have come up with two issues that I think, you know, one is on the sort of, we hope will be appealing to the people on the left, and one we hope will be appealing to people who consider themselves conservative or on the right. Of course, as libertarians, we don't believe in that line. You know, it's too limiting. We have that. We have our diamond shape to better represent political reality. But anyway, issue an executive order to bring the troops home, the Maryland National Guard home. The rationalization for that is, as Doug explained it to me, the original order that President Bush put out to mobilize the state National Guard was to realize certain objectives such as deposing Saddam Hussein and a few other things like that. All of those objectives have been met. There's been no new order out there with new objectives, so there's no reason why they shouldn't be brought home, legally speaking anyway. And the second, of course, is, as everyone knows, our current Governor O'Malley arranged to have the state sales tax increase from 5% to 6%. We're going to work out a plan, you know, incrementally. Give us 8 years, that's two terms as governor and lieutenant governor. On the last day of our second term, the sales tax will be down to zero. So it's 6-2-0-8. 6-2-0-8. That's what the mantra means. And I was saying to Denise, I'm thinking, well, I'm working out positions on a whole lot of other things, but under the category of miscellaneous, I don't know how many of you have actually seen the words of our state song, but it's truly an embarrassment. And so I think it would be nice to have a contest for a new state song. Just organize a contest. We could arrange for private funding for that and issue some kind of award for whoever comes up with the best song. They can either keep the same music or change it. It's up to them. But get a new state song that people can really get behind, and I think it'll be good, a nice thing.
Any other new business?
Well, I think we should thank Bob Johnson for arranging this whole convention and bringing us.
Does anybody have any announcements before we adjourn? Mr. Linder?
This is something Bobby put out on the announcement. Sheriff Mack will be here in Maryland on Monday, March 29th. He is the former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona, who challenged the federal requirements of the Brady bill, and he actually won the Supreme Court decision. So he is coming to Maryland to speak, and then he's also going to Pennsylvania. But there is Monday, March 29th in Westminster. Now, there's a charge of $15, but if anybody's interested in hearing him speak, I have a few flyers here that I can distribute to see if you have any questions, whatever.
And again, Ernie Hancock has a couple of t-shirts left and some DVDs. I know Eric, one of them is Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism movie, and I think another one is The Obama Deception. Some t-shirts and more. He's running for LNC chair in St. Louis later this year. Anything else before we adjourn?
Just a quick thing. If you want to take your badge of time with him and admire them, that's great. That's perfectly fine. But if you want to throw it away as soon as you go home, keep the plastic bag here before you go, and that way you won't have to buy them next
year. If there's any other objection, the meeting is adjourned.
Yay!